Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to be here at the 106th Annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention and Trade Show. I've been here gathering information all morning long, talking to all sorts of great folks that are here for the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula. In fact, the convention is underway right now. Folks are on the convention floor. They're going to be debating some policy resolutions and other things like that. We may get an opportunity here to hear from Cindy Johnson, the president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, here a little bit later this hour. But yeah, already this morning, I got a chance to catch up with Nicole Rolfe from the Montana Farm Bureau. She heads up the government affairs. Also got a chance to catch up with Brian Glenn, who's here from Washington, D.C., with the American Farm Bureau. Casey Mott, the vice president. He's also a rancher out of Custer, Miles City area, and so many more folks that we got a chance to catch up with this morning. So we'll feature some of those conversations here later in the hour. But first up, I'm here on the trade show floor, and great opportunity to catch up with so many organizations that are here for the Farm Bureau Convention. I just saw the banner for the Producer Partnership, and I've heard a thing or two about the Producer Partnership, and I wanted to hear more. So it's great to have Jerry Dellis now with us here on Montana Talks. Jerry, good to see you.
Great to see you.
So tell us about the Producer Partnership. Seems like a very timely organization to tell folks about right now as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. We're the nation's first and only USDA federally inspected, owned, and operated processing facility. We're located about 15 miles east of Livingston. We take in cull animal donations. We do all of the processing, which makes, we pay for that processing. The protein is distributed to schools, senior centers, veteran shelters all over per the donor's wishes. If the donor doesn't specify where the animal goes, it goes to Montana Food Bank Network. They've been our distribution partner since we started 5 years ago. They go to all 56 counties, 7 Indian reservations, with their 345 network partners. And so we are seeing needs increase, so it makes our job even more important than it already is. And so we just have been very, very busy. We have just recently received well over 100 pigs from the Phillips County situation, where Montana Department of Livestock went up and trapped over 100 pigs, brought them to us to process. We'll process all of that at no charge because we don't receive federal or state funding. We are all done by donations, grants, private foundations. And that protein will be about 14,000 pounds of ground pork. It'll go to Montana Food Bank Network. And by the time that's said and done, it'll impact about 56,000 meals is what that'll equate to.
That's incredible. Hold that thought. We'll talk more with Jerry Dellis with the Producer Partnership right after this quick break, right here with Montana Talks, live from the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula.
Local
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Program that we're hearing more about right now, the Producer Partnership. Jerry, this was kind of funny because I first heard about the Producer Partnership several years ago. I was working out at Fuel Fitness, and we had this rock star instructor, a gym coach. Her name was Jordan. A really cool family from the Shields Valley of Montana. She started working for you guys for the Producer Partnership, and so that's how I had first heard about this. And now she's off and married to a really cool Army guy, flying helicopters and all sorts of stuff. So pretty cool. But yeah, this whole Producer Partnership, this is, there's been a lot of talk here recently because of the federal government shutdown about food stamps and the food stamp program. And we could do a whole hour just talking about the food stamp program. But, This is so important what you're doing here, because getting protein in your diet, as my listeners are full aware, as I've talked about Billings Last Diet and what they do as an ideal protein program, that getting protein in your daily diet is so important. And yet oftentimes some of the folks who are most in need, that's what they don't get hardly at all, is actual good protein sources. And this is what you guys are doing to fill that gap.
It is. And we find that in schools, senior centers, veterans pantries, whatever, the number one need is protein. The hardest thing to get is protein. And so we really appreciate when a donor comes in and says, I want that cow to go to Southwest Montana Veterans Center, or I want that cow to go to Sealy Lake Senior Center. When they tell us their intentions of where they want that animal to go, we really know that they understand the increase in needs. Our seniors are our most vulnerable population. We know that when a senior goes to the senior center for a meal, we know that that's probably their only interaction that they'll get during the day. So they're getting good protein, they're getting interaction, it gets them out of the house. You take that away and all of a sudden, you know, the diet goes downhill. It's crackers and cheese, they're not getting good protein, and then it's a failure to thrive situation because that social aspect goes away. We also find that in schools, because with good Montana protein on Montana kids' plates, those kids are not going off campus for a bag of chips and a Mountain Dew. They're staying on campus to eat good Montana protein, and we should be putting that in our kids' bodies. We want them to go to football practice or basketball practice with good, solid protein nutrition, and that's really, we've seen such an increase in the schools we're working with. We ended the year last year working with 18 schools. We're up around 50 right now. And so we're seeing exponential growth with schools that are understanding that this is something that's good for the kids' bodies, their spirits, their minds, all of it, their ability to focus late in the afternoon. We don't see the crash because they're getting good nutrition. The school meal budget is beautiful because we pay for the processing and the animal is donated.
I always remember when I was a little kid, if I had cereal for breakfast, it's like, okay, I'm hungry an hour later again. I never felt full. And there's just something satisfying about, you know, having bacon or eggs or sausage or beef, a beef burger or something like that for breakfast instead. And now it makes sense. It's because, yeah, carbs and sugar without protein, it just leads to this sugar crash, and then you're hungrier, and then you just want to eat more. Whereas a good solid protein source, you actually feel more satisfied, and you're much better off for the remainder of your day. Break down some of the numbers, because during the break you were telling me about where you've got, you know, locations at, people that you partner with all across the state of Montana. And basically you're taking a cow that might not have gotten any money at the auction for the rancher, but they can donate it to you guys and through you guys instead put it to use.
That's exactly right. And it's a benefit to them. After that animal is processed, we send them a tax letter that says you donated 450 pounds of protein to XYZ school, and they take that to their accountant and they have it valued. It's a great program. We're really proud of the impact that we've made across the state of Montana. In the 5 years that we've been here, we've donated 350,000 pounds across Montana. That's 1.4 million meals. We don't get state funding. We don't get federal funding. All of our funding comes from people who believe in us, who make donations, who we use private foundations and grants, which is a big part of what I do. And our operational costs, as you would imagine, are extremely expensive.
And the price of a pound of meat in just the last 4 years, you think about how much that has skyrocketed. So you take all that 350,000 pounds of meat and then you put that on a per pound basis. That's a big dollar figure. Yeah, I remember back in the day, 10 years ago or so, when they changed the school lunch guidelines and they were removing protein from the diet. And it was like you had kids in small highline towns of Montana going to the gas station during their lunch break to get more protein or to get more food because they weren't getting what they needed, especially if they had a sports program after school. And then we see, you know, part of the big debate with the food stamp program is why are we allowing food stamp funds to go towards junk food? We're not helping the people we're supposed to be helping when we do that. And so, but even when you have great programs like food banks, et cetera, protein is something you were telling me they're often lacking. So that's where you guys are really helping to fill a big need. Mm-hmm. All right, Jerry, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you and the producer partnership?
They can call me at 406-880-4080. They can email me, Jerry, J-E-R-I, at producerpartnership.com. We're on social media, producer.partnership. We're on Instagram, Facebook, all over the place. They can just reach out, and I'm always here to help and appreciate anybody's interest in making an impact in their community through donation of a cull animal livestock.
All right. Well, Jerry, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. Producerpartnership.com is the website. Thanks for being with us. Quick break. More to follow from the Farm Bureau Convention next.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got another couple of great guests that are going to join us here in just a second with Montana Talks right here on the trade show floor of the 106th Annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention. We're going to chat with Damian Skirky and Killian Skirky with Marias River Farms out of Chester. They're also dealers for 360 Rain Adaptive Irrigation. It's basically an autonomous pivot. For those of you familiar with irrigation systems, this one's going to be interesting. Stand by. We'll get to that here in just a second. But first, earlier this morning, I had a chance to catch up with Casey Mott. Casey Mott is the vice president for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. His ranch is near Custer and Miles City as well. And it was, I'll tell you what, it's good catching up with him because, you know, the Farm Bureau, they've got farmers and ranchers that are part of Farm Bureau. Some organizations focus on just, you know, cattle producers. Some organizations focus on grain growers, for example. The Farm Bureau, they have both farm and ranch members. But yeah, obviously right now the farm side of the house is struggling with prices and input costs and everything like that. But the ranchers like Casey Mott, and then I heard the same thing from Gene Curry out of Valier. Casey was telling me earlier, you know, you've got high prices, which are a good thing for the ranchers. But then on top of that, they ended up getting a lot of moisture in the Miles City and Custer areas earlier in the year. And so calves that he thought were going to be weighing 500 pounds ended up getting up to 700 pounds. You combine that with high prices, and that's why some folks out there are, as you might say, fat and happy right now. I also had an off-air conversation with Casey Mott talking about basically what a difference an administration could make, talking about their trip back to Washington, D.C. earlier this summer and what has changed since that point. I think our producer has that ready for us back in the studio. Okay, Casey, they're going to mute me back in the studio. We'll keep the conversation going off air here. So, yeah, it was fun. I went back into my old messages from Eric Moore out of Miles City, and, you know, it's so great to hear from him while he's listening to the show. He'll message me during the show, but he texted me back in, I think, the end of July or something like that. He said, hey, I was in D.C. last week lobbying with a group from Montana Farm Bureau. Got to see our guys, the Montana guys, and lots of agency personnel. He said, I was there in 2023 as well. Boy, if you don't think it matters who wins elections. Sounds like there were a lot more doors opened for our farmers and ranchers with the new Trump administration this past summer compared to the previous regime.
Oh, absolutely. I did not go on the previous one, but talking with Eric, it was certainly a change. And, you know, our the congressional delegation, you know, they're Montanans and they're good. You know, Ryan Zinke, Tim Sheehy now, and of course, Steve Daines that we met, and Downing. Got to meet with him as well. Good people. Listen to our concerns, and it was really good talking with those folks. But the real change came with the agencies. You know, we went and talked with the head of BLM, with the, Fish and Wildlife Service and the Forest Service. And that is where you really see the change, because these are Trump appointees. And the things that we had, a lot of it was wildfire mitigation and just fighting wildfires that we have in this state. Public lands grazing, it's another big issue, and the grizzly bears. When you talk to these agencies now, they're listening and they're on the same page as we are. Talking with Eric before, he said when we went back and back in 23 with the previous administration, they didn't exactly slam the door in your face, but it sure felt like it.
Yeah, and we're seeing already big changes now in what the Trump administration is reversing, things like Waters of the U.S. That process is underway right now of reversing that nonsense that I know Farm Bureau was very aggressively pushing back against and working on the grizzly bears as well and delisting those from the endangered species list, et cetera, so important for the Rocky Mountain Front area folks in particular right now. Casey Mott, Vice President for the Montana Farm Bureau, great to catch up with you. If you want to come down and join us again later this morning, feel free to pop in. I'm here till 10.
Very good. I just might do that. Thank you.
All right. Good. All right. And, yeah, of course, they're out on the convention floor right now as we speak. Hey, this is going to be a very interesting topic coming up right now. That's why I love being on the trade show floor at conventions like this. You get to hear about some of the new technology, talk to some of the industries that are in the house, chatting with our farmers and ranchers that are here all across the state. We've got Damian Skirky and his son Killian Skirky now with us here on Montana Talks. They're with Marias River Farms in Chester, Montana, but they're also dealers for 360 Rain. Gentlemen, great to see both of you guys. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Killian, good to see you as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Are you running the show or is your dad running the show?
Both of us.
Okay. Are you the more techie, social media savvy guy?
Not exactly. He more is, but I will back him up, you know.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, good to see you guys. First off, tell us about Marias River Farms and tell us what it's been like in Chester over the past year or so in farm and ranch country.
Yeah, so it's been busy growing crops and taking care of cows. We bring cows in and have some cows on summer pasture on some of our cover crops and then just cropping. Moisture hasn't been too bad. You know, this last year seemed like it was kind of timely. It started to dry out and then we'd get something. So some folks are really hurting and others are swimming. So,
Killian, what's it like for you? What does Dad do mostly on the farm? What do you do mostly on the farm? Or do you do most of the stuff on the farm?
No, we both do a lot. He is more into the cows and stuff, so he does a lot of work with cows and taking care of calves and stuff like that. I'm more on the working on the ranch side of things, so farming, running tractors, harvesting, seeding, more on kind of that side. So working with grain, that kind of business. So.
It's so fun. Earlier, I got to catch up with our friend Russell Nimitz, who's with the Western Ag Network, and he was talking about the good news with the cattle markets in particular. Actually, he grew up in Chinook, so not too far down the road from you guys. So we were doing some throwback Thursday stuff on a Wednesday here. But, you know, what I like about guys like Russell is they can deliver the meat and potatoes farm and ranch news for the producers out there. Mm-hmm. But also they can make it relevant to people that are living in town right now that maybe didn't grow up on a farm or a ranch. And so that's what I think is kind of the direction I want to take with this. So for our farmers and ranchers out there, tell us about your business with 360 Rain. You're a dealer for 360 Rain. It's an adaptive irrigation concept, it sounds like. And then maybe before we get to that, just to describe irrigation and how traditional irrigation systems work in agriculture in Montana for our non-farmer rancher listeners.
Sure. So probably the first type of irrigation that we had was the flood irrigation, where you had the ditches and you would go out there and either open up a hole in it or use a suction pipe to just flood irrigate. And you had to level your fields first so that the water would flow across fairly evenly. And then later on, you got wheel lines or side rolls, another name for them. And you had to just go out there and move those morning and night, or, you know,
every 12 hours.
Every 12 hours. Yeah, there you go. He had to do it quite a bit.
Yeah. And would something always break too?
Well, like either you had a pipe that would break or snap, or you had a sprinkler that was plugged, or a sprinkler that would blow off, or engine that would start that was soaked, or, you know, always there was some problem with something, you know?
Yeah, but at least you had irrigation. At least you have water, yeah, because your dry land farmers, they got the challenge of not having the water. So the beauty of having that irrigation, but more water can sometimes also mean more problems as well. And I'll bet you were dealing with those problems when you were still in like high school and grade school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so when people hear the term, when they hear a farmer talk about a pivot, you know, they're describing a specific, you know, irrigation component, right?
Yes.
So when I saw your materials here, I said, wow, that is a much different looking pivot that you are selling here.
Yes. So your traditional pivot would have a pivot point where it's attached, and then it either makes a part of a circle or a full circle. That's your traditional pivot, where this here is, it's completely new. It's just crazy. We bought one, put it on the farm, and then I started thinking, we can't keep this quiet. This is, you know, it applies to so many different areas where it could be, you know, right outside of Bozeman where you have subdivisions moving out. So now you've got a house that's partway out into the field that you used to irrigate. Now you can't run the pivot on it because you can't make that circle, or the wheel lines, you know, just having to deal with that. So with this, it's an autonomous vehicle. So you go in and you build a geofence around the perimeter, and then you come in and, if you're doing alfalfa or some sort of a cereal grain, then they just generate paths, and it's all through, it comes through the cell tower, and it's okay.
So it's kind of like, well, like when I think of it, it's like having a drone on the ground. This is an autonomous vehicle that is irrigating your farmland. And you were telling me it doesn't even leave tire tracks because it can be so precise with where it sprays the water that the tire tracks remain dry. So now you don't have those big tire tracks in your farm field as well at the same time.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You're not packing, you're not making wheel tracks. You know, it's got an 80-foot boom on the back. And when it's headed out, it'll water on the outside of the booms. And then when it's coming back, it's a three-wheeler machine. So on the front, watering behind as it's leaving, as it's rolling a pose, you're watering on the front. And so it's everything's watering behind the wheel. So your wheels never are in the mud, which is really nice.
And then it's all autonomous. So you're controlling it through like an app or something like that.
iPad, you can, with an iPad or a phone. So you can control pump pressures. You can even send it out onto a desired path. So that's completely controllable. You can see cameras. The machine has three cameras on that you can pull up and you can look at how the hose is doing. You can see how full your reel is, and just
very interesting. All right, 360 Rain is the company. How can folks get a hold of you guys in Chester?
So they can contact us at MariahsRiverFarms.com. Or call us on our cell phone numbers.
All right, hold that thought. Yeah, MariahsRiverFarms.com. Back after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, USDA rolled out another round of support for farmers, releasing billions of dollars in disaster assistance to help producers recover from storms and other natural disasters that took place in the years of 2023 and 2024. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins says the president is committed to providing timely relief, calling the health of America's farm and ranch families a national security priority. Altogether, USDA's Farm Service Agency is delivering more than $16 billion in congressionally approved disaster aid, on top of earlier programs that provided over $9 billion to row crop producers and more than $700 million to livestock producers. The next phase of the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program, known as Stage 2, covers losses not included in earlier payments, including shallow losses and quality losses on crops, trees, bushes, and vines. Applications for the relief open up November 24th and will run through April 30th of 2026. USDA is also offering targeted support for dairy producers and farmers who lost stored grain during recent disasters. The milk loss program provides up to $1.65 million for dumped or displaced milk, while the on-farm stored commodity loss programs offers up to $5 million for damaged stored crops. More information can be found at fsa.usda.gov. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is the...
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, that was fun catching up with Damian Skirky and his son Killian Skirky there with Marias River Farms. Yeah, again, their website, mariasriverfarms.com. And yeah, I was trying to think of how best to describe this autonomous irrigation vehicle that they sell with 360 rain. And it looks like a sprayer, if you're familiar with seeing like a sprayer on a farm. Actually, Cindy Johnson, the president of the Montana Farm Bureau, you just showed up. Great to see you. By the way, congrats on your re-election as president of the Montana Farm Bureau. Is this 5 years now?
This would be my fifth year, yes.
Your fifth year. Congratulations. So, town kid like myself, I'm trying to think of a way to describe it.
It does look like a sprayer.
Doesn't it look like a sprayer?
Yeah, the cab is just the mechanism in the middle, and it's much smaller than a traditional sprayer. And I'm a sprayer operator, so I'm thinking, yeah, that's cool.
That's why I figured, okay, good. So I'm not too far offline. Yeah, so to me, it looks like a sprayer, but this is an irrigation system, an autonomous irrigation system. And yeah, so you can check them out, mariasriverfarms.com, to get a hold of them. The cell phone number they've got on Damien's card here, 406-680-7444, 680-7444, or just go to mariasriverfarms.com. All right, so there we go. We ran out of time before the break to get all that information in. Well, Cindy, great to see you. Yeah, you're not only the president of Montana Farm Bureau, but you're also a farmer yourself as well. What do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Oh, I think that agriculture is in great hands. We have a great generation of young agriculturists coming up behind us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the future holds with Montana agriculture. There's technology and changes in the industry are just making it better every year, and there's lots of opportunity out there.
I tell you, I got such a great update from Nicole Rolfe and then the American Farm Bureau as well. Nicole does the government relations for Montana Farm Bureau, and then we also had the rep from the American Farm Bureau as well earlier. And, you know, it's important to look back on everything that has been accomplished, the good that is starting to happen now. LOTUS, the Waters of the U.S., for example, the Trump administration is repealing that. But then I know there's also efforts, going on in Congress to codify stuff like that so that it can never be brought up again and we just stop this nonsense once for all. The so-called conservation rule, which was basically where the Biden administration was making non-use of our so-called public lands
a priority.
And so they were going to basically take away all this access to our public lands. That's now being peeled back. It's not just an accomplishment of the Trump administration and of the Congress. This is a huge accomplishment for Farm Bureau folks like your organization and others who have been fighting this stuff since day one.
Absolutely, especially in Western states. You know, public lands issues are much larger in Western states. East of the Mississippi River, there's very little public land. The majority of it is all west of the Mississippi. And so that's why the battle has always been over public lands and our access and our ability to use those public lands. And the Biden administration didn't feel that farming and ranching was should be the highest priority for that land. And obviously access is always critical. But farming and ranching does not deny public access. You just, you have to go through the proper steps in order to go to those public lands and access those public lands, but it doesn't deny access. And Biden administration's rules, putting conservation first, would have restricted access.
The good news that I'm hearing from Gene Curry and from Casey Mott here is cattle prices and then the moisture in many parts of this state, fat and happy. Fatter calves, higher prices, a win-win all around for many in the livestock industry. Farms, though, and farmers are struggling. And we talked about the importance of a farm bill, for one, because that is, as Nicole Rolfe pointed out, that is the safety net for our farmers. But I'm hearing more talk about in the midst of the trade negotiations that are going on right now, that there is more and more talk about providing some relief to our struggling farmers that are out there. Because to me, food security is national security. And not only that, but Montanans, we cannot afford to lose these family farms. And And in the midst of these international trade negotiations, trade war, whatever you want to call it, we cannot allow family farms to be collateral damage. And I know Trump 45 provided some relief to help out in the midst of those negotiations. So I'm hopeful that, Trump 47 will do the same thing again here. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing. I'm hearing that there's relief in the works. We're not getting a lot of detail right now. The few pieces of information that we have signify that the numbers are not nearly as beneficial as they were in the past. It's just a much smaller number. When the I can't even remember. I think it was $30 million or $30 billion, excuse me, that was relief provided countrywide, and that was very, very minimal assistance for most of the people involved in agriculture, involved in farming specifically. And the numbers I'm hearing now are $10 billion, you know. And so I'm thinking, I don't know. They're big numbers, and they talk about how they provide relief, and then they send you forms to figure out how much money you're going to get, and then you cut that back to 35%. I mean, that's the standard number. And so it might be enough for some farming operations to get them by, but the commodity prices are so very, very low, and we've had a significant drought. And the northern part of the state, northern and the western part of the state, right now are in a significant drought pattern. And we have technology that will help us grow crops that can resist a drought. But bridge funding is what we're talking about on the AFBF level. And hopefully there's some opportunity there. We're just keeping all channels open. And we communicate frequently with our lobbyists at the Montana Farm Bureau level and at the American level.
Yeah. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Are there numbers that are standing out in terms of the good news and maybe the more concerning news, you know, livestock producers versus farmers, et cetera?
I think livestock producers are doing pretty well right now, but they were due. Aaron, you know, their prices were depressed for such a long, long time that a lot of these people are playing catch up. And when cattle prices are high, it's good to be a seller, but when you're in the cattle business, you also have to be a buyer. So they are going to have to spend a whole lot more money to replace some of those heifers unless they're in the business of keeping the replacements. And so they have high input costs, just like farmers do. And even though they have great commodity prices, it doesn't mean it's all peaches and cream.
They're managing so many different levers that they've got to keep an eye on to keep these, you know, these family farms and ranches up in operation. But it's really the backbone of Montana, not just economically, but I think just culturally as well. It's what makes Montana so great is our farmers and ranchers. What was your message upon your reelection or heading into your reelection as a president?
It's been a great year for Montana Farm Bureau. We're seeing some membership growth, especially with young people, and so our organization is growing. That's where we have to grow. There's only so many of us old people around, right?
Well, but there is a generational transition going on. I mean,
yes.
In agriculture, you know, in families, but also in organizations, too.
Yes, and what we've neglected to do in agriculture is make that transition a whole lot earlier in our lives. We have a lot of 80-year-old production agriculture folks who are turning over the reins to their 60-year-old children. So we're not really accomplishing a whole lot. We're missing a generation or so. And so some of us got that message pretty early. And so we're making those transitions and young people are coming online. We're hoping to facilitate a lot more young people connecting with folks who need to transition. And, you know, we've explored different programs to try to make those connections. We're going to continue in that direction. You do everything that we can to get the younger people involved in agriculture.
About a minute to go before we get to our next break here. Cindy Johnson, so great to catch up with you. Some of the big discussions or policy debates that are ongoing at the convention right now, big one is water and exempt wells and things like that.
Yes, Montana Farm Bureau has joined in with the League of Cities and Towns and several other organizations to basically get Montana to follow the law. We're running out of water. There's no doubt about it. Water is a renewable, yes, but when you add more people and more demand on the water, senior water rights are in jeopardy, and we need to protect those. If we don't protect those, we won't have agriculture. It's critical.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, like, the energy scenario. We could be producing a lot more energy in Montana. Water. We have a lot of water flowing through Montana. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start storing more of that water here instead of just watching it all go downstream every spring and summer? And so if we need more water, let's store more water, and then maybe we don't need to fight about the existing water because we're storing more of it here in the process. So hopefully that's something our state leaders and state officials are looking at more closely. Cindy Johnson, great to see you as always. Thanks. Congrats on your reelection. 20 seconds. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
I think the future is bright for agriculture, thanks to organizations like Montana Farm Bureau Federation.
All right, great to see you. Coming up right after the break, we've got Scott Anderson with AgriBest Feeds. You know, we're talking about technology. What technology is standing out to him? We'll start there right after this. Stand by.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Tis the season to be spending lots of dough for holiday gifts, and there are ways to maximize your credit card rewards while spending away. Putting your holiday shopping on a rewards credit card lets you earn valuable rewards for your purchases. The best time to earn a credit card welcome offer is when you know you have upcoming expenses. If you apply and get approved, it will likely offer a sign-up bonus with a spending requirement. And check your credit card shopping offers. Many credit card companies like Chase, American Express, and Citi provide targeted card offers to their cardholders, which they can use to save money at various stores and retailers. Another way to get extra rewards is to use shopping portals and rewards credit cards while shopping simultaneously. An online shopping portal is a website, app, or browser extension that gets a commission when it sends shoppers to a retailer's website and they make a qualifying purchase. The shopping portal will share that commission with you as cash back or another type of reward. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I had so many conversations earlier in the morning, some great off-air conversations that I was able to record. If I don't have time to get to those today, I'll have some more highlights from the Farm Bureau Convention for you on tomorrow's show when I get back into the studio. Real quick, you know, we love supporting Montana farmers and ranchers. We also love supporting Montana businesses. Let me tell you about a Montana business with a really cool product. Power Plus Pain Aid, started by a Marine Corps veteran, lives in Big Fork, Montana. It's a really cool product that, you know, especially if you got a long road trip this week or for the holidays and you need a little extra energy, but then sitting in the car is one of the worst things for that back pain or for those other aches and pains. Well, he's combined it all into one. It's an energy drink combined with all natural pain relieving vitamins. If you go to drinkpowerplus.com, enter the code FLINT15 and you'll get 15% off your products. DrinkPowerPlus.com, use the code FLINT15. All right, we're talking technology here at the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula. Scott Anderson with AgriBest Feeds. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us here on the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You were at the Nile recently.
Yeah.
And there was some technology that caught your eye there. You've got it with us here today, I think.
Exactly. So, yeah, we were at the Nile. What AgriBest Feeds is all about is enhancing farmer and ranchers' lives with uniquely better products and superior customer service. And historically, we've been mainly in the feed business with our Sweet Pro, and we've introduced a new Rumen Edge product for supplementation on the cattle side and horses and, of course, the Redmond products. But at the Nile, we came across there was a farmer, rancher from Wyoming who had a what they called a water rippler, and what it does is it is used in stock tanks and uses about 97% less energy than your typical water heater does, because it's a 12 volt pump on the bottom of the float that's circulating water in your water tank, and it will mitigate ice and help in the summer cool waters and reduce algae and all sorts of things that it does. So pretty exciting.
Here's a big one, especially if you're, I saw Tom DePoot from Seiko here earlier. He's close there. He's close. So he'll get this one here. It also will help reduce mosquito hatchings. Yeah. So this thing will help reduce the mosquitoes. So sometimes the mosquitoes are bigger than the pheasants in parts of Montana. I think about technology like this. Okay, so whether it's the summer heat or the winter freeze, that basically the rippling of this water rippler is what helps in both of those types of conditions. Do you remember, this was probably over 10 years ago now, one of the Super Bowl commercials, they played the Paul Harvey So God Made a Farmer clip. And one of the photos that I always remember from the So God Made a Farmer Super Bowl commercial, I think it was Dodge Trucks that did it at the time, was there was a woman and she had an ice pick in her hand because she was breaking up the ice so that her cows would have access to water.
Yeah.
Well, when it's 40 below zero in Montana, the ranchers will do it. They'll be out there breaking up the ice so that their cattle will have the water. But you don't want to have to be out there if you don't have to be out there.
Yeah, you don't want to be. And at 40 below Montana, you're going to have ice with the water.
Even rippler. With a rippler. But
if you could put a heater in with a rippler, and that's going to give you a kind of a dual effect in the extremely cold. But this rippler is going to keep that water flowing under the ice, even, you know, if it gets down to the single digits or below zero, it's probably going to ice over. But it's going to reduce that ice by at least half is kind of what we feel on that, because that water's continuing to run underneath. So it makes it a whole lot easier to chop ice. And you don't have to chop ice as early or as often.
Yeah. With the basic concept of being moving water is less likely to freeze than standing water, which is why the lakes will freeze over, or ponds will freeze over faster than a river might, et cetera.
That's correct. So it's a pretty exciting product. There are some videos on our website at agribestfeeds.com. There's a code on there if you're ordering online, capital A, capital B, capital F, Agribest Feeds. I'll give you a 10% discount $10 discount off your water rippler. But on the water rippler page, there's some videos of the inventor. It's just a rancher out of Moorcroft, Wyoming area, Randall and Shonda Otwell, and Agribest Feeds have actually partnered up with them from the Nile, and it's kind of overwhelming for them, but we've brought on our wives. We're a family business, and our wives are actually doing the assembly here right there in Billings.
Really?
And then we'll be fulfilling all of their orders. I think they've got orders from over 25 states now.
Wow.
and up into Canada.
So this thing's expanding rapidly. It's doing more than, the water rippler is doing more than just rippling
it's
across ranch country now.
Exactly.
30 seconds to go. Scott Anderson with Agribest Feeds. We'll have more highlights from the Farm Bureau tomorrow when I'm back in studio. But what else do you want to tell folks across Montana, or anything interesting that you heard here at Farm Bureau?
Just the ag industry. It's such a pleasure to be involved in that, and we appreciate those who are helping to feed the world, and great to yourself and other, you know, vendors and things, and what the technology that's out there to help enhance farmers and ranchers' lives.
Yeah, it's so fun to be here and see folks from all across the state, from Seiko to Valier to the Flathead Valley. That's what we love about a show like this. These are people we get to hear from every day on the show, but getting to see them is even better. Great to see you, Scott. Thanks for joining us here on Montana Talks. I appreciate Farm Bureau for letting us be here.